السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان، ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله ود فضل كرم إحسان وفضل الله سبحانه وتعالى. We find ourselves once again on a Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in different ahadith, he has explained that this ummat is one ummat. Whether a person is from whichever country, whichever nationality, whatever background, whatever color, whatever language a person speaks, but if a person has got iman, then it is all one ummat. We are all bound by the kalima, we are bound by our deen, we are bound by the fact that we worship the same Allah. When we were in traveling recently, in a certain place where there is predominantly Shafi'i people, people following the Shafi'i madhab, so they asked a Hanafi alim to make the imamat. So he was a bit, no, it was Fajr namaz also, so they normally made kunut in Fajr, etc. So he told them that, see, I am Hanafi, and is predominantly Shafi'i people here, so rather have a Shafi'i imam, Shafi'i perform the salah. So they told him that there's no problem if you are Hanafi. Nahnu na'budullah. We are all worshipping the same Allah. There's no problem. You make the imam. So whether it was correct for, rather a Shafi'i should have made, I'm not going into all those discussions. The point here is that no matter where we are, what language we speak, we are bound by this fact that we all worship the same Allah Ta'ala. And we all are ummatis of the same Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has explained that the Muslim Ummah is like a single body. So if one part of the body, the eye is paining, the head is paining, the whole body feels the taklif. It's not that the rest of the body say, well, we'll carry on doing what we're doing, you, the eye, you sort yourself out. You are paining, that's your problem. No, the whole body will experience the pain. So whatever happens in the ummah, whether it is locally, whether it is globally, nationally, internationally, the whole ummah will feel the pain. If something good has to happen, we will all share in the happiness. And if some difficulty the ummah is enduring, then we will all feel the pain that the ummah in that part of the world is enduring. So currently now, for about a year, the situation, the bombardment and massacre is continuing in Gaza. And recently this has now extended to Lebanon. And then we hear that Iran fired some missiles into Israel, what they call Israel, we call Palestine. So sometimes a person is left confused, what is going on here? And an ignorant person who doesn't really know the modus operandi of the enemies of Islam, they may be deceived into thinking that, see, all these countries around that are Sunni countries, right? Meaning Jordan, Turkey, the other Saudi Arabia, all these countries around near Gaza, they are all Sunni countries, what we call Sunni countries. They're not doing anything. Look at these people, Iran, we say that they are Shia and they are wrong and they are bad and they are like this and they are like that. But they are the only people that are standing up for the Muslims in Gaza. So people can become sympathetic towards the Shia, or if not sympathetic, at least tolerant. No, at least these people stood up. Nobody else stood up. At least they stood up. So they're not so bad after all. You see, you have to understand what is going on. To understand what is going on, then you will get the picture in your mind. Then you won't be surprised. One person, he took an elephant, right? Put an elephant in a big warehouse, big hall. And then he took people blindfolded and he made them touch different parts of the elephant's body. So somebody touched the trunk, somebody touched the foot, somebody touched the tail, somebody touched the stomach. And then he asked each of them to give a description. So one said, no, an elephant resembles a pillar. Because he touched the leg. He said, no, elephant resembles a pillar. The other person said, no, elephant resembles a big tank. Because he touched the stomach part. One person said, no, elephant, it's long and very flexible. Because he was holding the trunk. One person said, no, the elephant is very thin, like a snake. Because he was touching the tail. But all are wrong because they didn't get the whole picture of what an elephant really is. So sometimes we're so caught up in our dunya, we're not reading up our deen, and we're not understanding what is going on in the ummah, then we too get a wrong picture. And when solutions are given to us by our akabirin, our ulama, our elders, then we don't appreciate those solutions because we can't understand what's going on. If a person, he has got a heart problem, but he thinks that he got a headache. Now if you're giving him medication for the heart, he can't understand why you're giving him this medication. I need a Panado and are you giving me heart medication here? Because he doesn't know he got a heart problem. Understand? Gee, so sometime in order to simplify things and understand things, you've got to go back in time. Right? The biggest enemy of the Muslim at the time of Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the Yahud, the Jews. Right? There were no Zionists at that time, what they call Zionists. There were no Zionists, they were Yahud. So they were the biggest enemies of the Muslim. Amongst the Yahud were those who made their stance clear that they are Yahud and they hate Islam, they hate Muslims. And then there were those who wanted to play tabla on both sides. So they became the hypocrites. Majority of the hypocrites were from among the Jews. Now we don't have time to go into all the details. But from this tabqa, from this group of munafiqeen, from the munafiqeen gave birth to what we call Shiism. This whole Shiism If you go back in time, you will trace it to the hypocrites who were actually Yahud. So Yahud and Shias are one. You got to understand that. This is why in Iran, in the capital of Iran, you won't find one Sunni masjid, but you'll find plenty synagogues. Because Jews and Shias, they are one. If you study the Jewish, not the religion that Musa alayhi salam gave, whatever they altered in their religion, if you study it and you study Shiism, you will draw all the similarities. The belief system of the Jews, the belief system of the Shia, you will draw many, many similarities between the two. Now this is for you to go and study. I'm giving you homework. You must go, don't just take my word for it. You must go and study and check it up. So, the Shia have been radicalized. They are radicals. That they must wipe out Muslims. Muslim is the enemy. Wipe out Muslims. And the Jew got the same mentality. That the Muslim is the enemy, you must wipe out the Muslim. The Jew, when he kills Muslims, he gets happy. He poses, he boasts. And the Shia they do the same. If you speak to Muslims from Syria, they will tell you what they are suffering at the hands of the Shia. The same stories that you hear, because Gaza is in the news, so the same similar things that you hear happening in Gaza, they will give you reports of that, what the Shia are doing to them in Sham. Now you come to the Zionist. I explained to you the Jew and the Shia. Now you come to the Zionist. Who is a Zionist now? Where do they fit in? A Zionist is in actual fact a Satanist. See, a person who worships the devil, he doesn't want to be known as a person who is worshipping the devil. So he needs to find some other name for himself. So a Zionist is actually a Satanist. He worships the devil. He worships Shaitan. The Zionists have been deceived by Shaitan that they will get the help of Shaitan. They're going to get the help of the Shayateen in order to secure the help of the Shayateen. They must continue making sacrifices to the devils, continue doing what the devils want them to do, and the devils will give them help. And they are deceived into this thinking that if we become strong enough, if we have to advance technologically enough, right? Science, technology, or medicine, all these things, we have to advance all our surveillance, all our camera systems, our weaponry, everything. Then, in the end, we will be able to defeat Wanauzu Billah, but we will be able to take over this whole system and override the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because at the end of the day, they know Allah ta'ala is there. Allah ta'ala is the supreme zat, the supreme being. Allah Ta'ala is in control. But they are duped, they are deceived by the shayateen that no, if we muster up enough, you know, wealth, technology, all these things, we reach a certain height, we will be able to override the whole system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will then take over. So they are living in this deception, the Zionists, that the world is their Jannat, they're going to make it their Jannat. Now, the Zionists don't even care about the Yahud. The Zionists, they don't even care about the Shia. They are Satanists. They worried about their own control of this world. The wealth is theirs. There must be minimum people living in this world. They must have enough technology, enough science that they can sort out things. You just need a small labor force to do things which is not possible to do with machine. You need a small labor force, right? The rest of the people in this world must be dead. Right? Many a times you are shocked that they're killing children. They're beheading children, they're bombing children. I mean, nobody wants to kill children. You don't even want to kill animals' children. They too look so cute. Animals' children too look cute. But these people are killing so many children. And not from today. In all the places that they have war, they kill children, they rape, they involve themselves in filth. Right? Why do they do this? If you just want to take over a place, you're fighting a war. A war is something else. But when you stoop to these kind of actions, why do you do this? You see, in any satanic ritual, there has to be the slaughter of babies. When Satanists have a ritual, they have to slaughter babies. They have to rape women. Because this is shaitaniyat. So one is those little pockets of Satanists who do this in one corner here and one corner there, and they slaughter one baby and two babies. And the other is these Satanists, macro Satanists. How many babies Shaitan is asking them to sacrifice in his name? That's why the slaughter of the innocents, the slaughter of babies, the rape of women, now even the rape of men. Filth. Right? Because this is their mindset. They are Dajjali people. Dajjali people. They are the force that's going to be with Dajjal. Shaitani people. Right? So where do these Yahud fit in? What they call settlers and all that. The Yahud, they are being used by these Zionists. I'm not saying the Yahud are innocent. The Yahud are the worst enemy of Islam. The Yahud and the Mushrik, two worst enemies of Islam. That's why you'll find what is happening in India, and you'll find what, the biggest Mushriks are there in India. They are the biggest enemies of Muslim. Where we get that from? Allah Ta'ala tells us. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. So, the Zionist factor, the Satanists, they thrive on the radical nature of the Jew, his hatred for Islam, and the radical nature of the Shia, his hatred for the Sunni Muslim, who is a true Muslim. A Shia is not a Muslim. Right? So they use this. Because how are you going to get the people to fight a war? In the Jewish, amongst the Yahud, they think they're fighting a holy war. Their generals and all that are reading for them from the Torah. No, this is your promised land. You have to cleanse this land and you have to remove all the goyims. And that they're reading to them from the Torah. They think they're fighting some holy war. So they radicalized him. Now when you understand it like this, that behind all of this is Shaitan. Shaitan is setting the stage for Dajjal, which is the biggest fitna for the Ummah. And then when you hear the talks of our Akabirin and they tell you that by the solution to the problem is strengthen your Iman. Solution to the problem, become a strong believer, strengthen your Iman. Then you will understand it. Because this is a fight of Haq and Batil. It is a fight of Noor and Zulam. It is Hezbollah, not that Hezbollah there. I'm not talking about the Lebanon Hezbollah. Hezbollah that is mentioned in the Quran, the group of Allah, Allah's people, and Hizbul Shaitan, Shaitan's people. You see, Iran fires 18 missiles. How many? It's like a fireworks display. The newspapers pump it up to 200. That they fired 200 missiles. Before they fire the missiles, they get permission from America, from Russia, and from Israel. So, you see, we under a lot of pressure now, our people, because the people on the ground, sometimes they don't know any better. Now they're putting pressure on the government, but why are you not doing anything yet? They say, no, we're under pressure. So see, we'll be firing some. And what I'm telling you is documented. I'm not telling you just fairy tales. It's documented, this thing. Right? The president of the United States, he is saying this thing. Right? They get permission first. They tell them where the missiles are going to go. And see, these are precision missiles. So don't worry, it will fall near the base, won't hit the base. Right? So we're firing it at this time, we'll be under pressure here, we need to do something just to show, otherwise our cover will be blown. So after they fired those few missiles, what was the damages? Two people got injured with shrapnel. Your claim is you fired 200 missiles into Tel Aviv. And what's the natija? Two people got injured with shrapnel. So that alone, even a foolish person will understand that all this is a farce. If they kill people in Lebanon, it don't matter to them. Who they killing? It don't matter to them. Because to them, they need to secure this land for the coming of Dajjal. What they refer to as Greater Israel. Lebanon is part of it. Parts of Sham is part of it. So, we mustn't be surprised and don't be hoodwinked. If Iran, the Shia Iran, really wanted to do something, right, then that Ismail Haniya, he was killed in Iran. So wasn't that now, enough that Israel did for them to retaliate? But nothing. No retaliation. They just make some drama to show the world. Right? And we think, no, these people are doing something. No. They are doing absolutely nothing. The countries that are surrounding Palestine, they too have been bought off. Like we too have been bought off. The most we do is we talk about a boycott. So we say, see, you must boycott this company, this jacket company, but buy the other jacket. You must boycott this chocolate, but eat the other chocolate. You boycott this kafir shop, but you buy the same kafir fashion in the next shop. No problem. We don't boycott a kuffar lifestyle. We don't boycott and say that, look, we're not going to buy these products. And all this wealth that we're saving by not buying these products, we're going to use this wealth for i'la'i kalimatillah. And we as an ummah, what preparation are we making? What preparation are we making? So we need, if around all the Muslim countries around there, if iman was strong, then you think this thing would have carried on for so long. But our iman is so weak. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about this day, that the kuffar will get together, they will devour the ummah, like how people get together to eat food, the dastarkhan. Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked that, will that be because of tillat, that the Muslims will be very few in number? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, balum kaseer. Do you know Egypt has got an army, the largest army in that area? Right? How many soldiers in the army of Egypt? 1 million. So, balhum kathir. But, ghusa'un ka ghusa is sail. That they will be like the foam on the waters of the ocean. How the flood waters, how you get the foam on top. No taqat, no strength. Why? Because they will have wahan in their hearts. Mal wahnu ya Rasulallah. Sahabina ya Rasul, what is this wahan? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hubbud dunya wa karahiyatul maut. The love of the world and dislike of death. Wallahi, you go to all the countries around Palestine, you only see dunya being built. High buildings, entertainment, restaurants, fashion, movies being advertised. All these things are happening around. Only dunya is being promoted. So when the Akabirin say, build your iman, become simple, turn away from the world, that's the solution. That's the long-term solution. That is a long-term solution. And the ummah needs to bring back the spirit of jihad. The jihad has gone like non-existent in the ummah. And we're paying the price for it. Because we left jihad, we're paying the price for it now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq. Allah ta'ala, give us understanding. Allah Ta'ala make it asan for all those suffering around the globe. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.